Fred Film Radio, Festival de Cannes, France.
Fred from Radio from the Cannes Film Festival. I'm Angela Cherby here with Etienne Kallos, director of The Harvesters. Listen, Etienne, your film is about identities mainly. You two have different origins. You're half Greek and half African. How do you feel about it?
We feel all of these things at once. We're moving into this new age where people aren't feeling just one identity anymore, right? You're not just from Sweden, you know, born in Sweden, from Sweden, live in Sweden. You know, you're like, you're Swedish, but you're something else, right? And for me, I'm a Greek African, right? Living in America. But again, if you look back, every single member of my family grew up in a country that doesn't exist anymore. Right, like my grandfather grew up in a part of Greece that's now Albania. Right, then my father was born and grew up in the Belgian Congo, which doesn't exist anymore. And I grew up in apartheid South Africa, which even though South Africa didn't change, the identity and the reality has changed, thank God. But each time you do that, there's a different shift, there's a different fracture that happens, and you keep that fracture. It doesn't go away. You keep it. So each part of that fracture becomes part of your identity. On my mother's side too.
And why did you come to tell us this story specifically, set in that specific part of South Africa?
Well, firstly, I have a deep respect and envy for the Afrikaners in that they have such a strong sense of place. I have a sense of place, and there's part of me that's always in Africa, but I'm not actually there. I can go out and do what I want. But they are saying, no, we're only here, right? They stay there, they're of the land, and they don't move. At the same time, it's incredibly interesting time right now as we're 20 years more or less past apartheid having been over. This is the first generation of Afrikaners born completely outside of the apartheid system, right? Where are they going to go? What kind of new Africa, new identity is going to be claimed or resolved in the future? I don't even know yet. It's incredibly interesting time. But I think before we do that external journey, right, into the country, first, I think everyone has to be some sort of reckoning and some sort of inner journey first. And so that's what I'm charting, both in myself, this is for me, right? Right? And for these characters and for these youths. And so that was also so amazing and moving to see all of these Afrikaans youth. I worked very hard to make sure the whole cast came, not just the two leads, and represent a new wave of Afrikaans, youths. Out in the world.
Because it seems that for the older generation of Afrikaners, religion is the key thing. It's very important. For the youngest, the constraints that religion is forcing on them are not that important anymore, because for Jano is not that key element of his life.
He feels a weight, right? When he looks up at that wall of family portraits, mm-hmm. It's not to look and to feel comfort and say, I belong, like maybe his parents do, right? Instead, for him, there is a weight that for right now, currently, he wants to avoid, right? Maybe he'll come back in some way, or he's going to revisit or resolve things later on. But, you know, religion, again, is not good or bad. It's depending on how, on how you resolve it for yourself, right? And the new generation is going to have to figure out their sense of place and identity and religion and all those things in their own way. And they haven't done it yet because they're just coming of age. It's why I cast boys, all of them, they were just 13, 14, 15, all of them, right? And so it was very important to cast kids who really are in that place. Childhood has just ended, right? You're just starting to sense it's over. The sense of loss is just, you're just starting to taste it. And they're moving on into adulthood. But what's difficult with moving on into adulthood and adolescence is that usually you need a lot of elders to help you. But, you know, in a post-colonial era like this, your elders, like my parents too, which is why I know and why I can write about it, grew up in a different reality. They don't know the rules of this reality. How can they help you? So it's very specific in the story that the youths do not have mentors they can go to or advisors they can go to. They have to work it out in some sort of wordless, instinctual fashion.
For these young people, it's a clash because they want to belong. They want to be free.
Yeah. I mean, of course they want to belong. They want to belong in this family. Look how hard they're fighting to be in this family that may or may not be the greatest family in the world, you know? Look how hard, and, you know, this is something that For myself, you know, I'm not an orphan. I grew up in a family, but there was still a rift, you know, growing up gay or Greek in Africa and feeling all these fractures. You start growing up, and around that age is when you start realizing or questioning where you belong. Do I belong in this family where there's a part of myself that's so secret and so unacceptable, you know? And do I belong in this culture where I'm like European, but I'm in Africa and I'm part of this weird apartheid regime and like, you know, like, how can I belong here? But I'm not from Greece. I mean, I didn't grow up in Greece. I can't even speak Greek, you know. So I don't belong there necessarily, you know. So where does one belong? So belonging and surviving in Africa, I think, are synonymous. You know, they're like part of the same. You need to survive. You need to belong. And in order to do so, the first thing you need is a family. And then after that, you need a community and a culture and then a country. Yeah. And in some ways, in Africa, in South Africa, everyone's feeling a little bit like they don't have one or the other of those things. Yeah.
And how difficult was it to work with those young actors in order for them to do what you had in mind?
It wasn't difficult at all. They were amazing. It was really difficult to find them.
Really?
Because, you know, it is a conservative community. And if you write on paper, I want to make some a darker, edgier art film that with themes of sexuality, here, give it to the parents, sign off. No, they're not going to do that, right? It doesn't happen that often either in South Africa. There's not that many films made in South Africa about South Africa. Certainly not films like this. So it was something unusual for the schools and the parents. So in order for me to find them, I needed to go and present myself. I needed to go and show who I was in person all the time. And that's the only way that I was able to find the boys, to the parents, to the schools, and to the classrooms of the children. I had to do it to everybody. And a lot of schools still said no, and a lot of children still said no, and a lot of parents, even when I auditioned boys, still said no. But I was worried I would have to compromise on my cast. But in the end, I really didn't. I think everybody's absolutely perfect. And the Afrikaans kid is great. They grow up in high schools where they're ordered around a lot. And I'm a Greek, so I shout a lot. And they were fine. So they could handle it. I'm just talking throughout all the takes. I'm talking to them. I found they wouldn't perhaps perform so well. They'd lose it more easily if I was in another room looking at the big screen with my headphones on. I had to be in proximity with them. That's how they had learned to trust me. And I had to be, they had to feel me near them. And like in the big scene when at the end with Peter and Yanu in the bedroom, right, you know, the last big dialogue, Peter has a lot to do there, right? He has to carry a lot. So did Yanu in a different way, but Peter really had to carry a lot. And he could only do it. I was literally sitting right outside of the frame, right there with him. And that's how like we kept him going in that way. But it's actually, what a privilege to work with youths and have this film and this experience be part of their growing up now. I mean, it's incredibly exciting.
Yeah. Did you use any of their own experience in the film of the kids?
Yes. I mean, it's partly why I cast them. When I cast them, I talk to them about who they are, and then I have to find out if they understand what it means to feel lonely and to feel isolated and to feel like you have a secret, right? And to feel angry. So those kind of things, I talk to them about all of that, and the way that I direct is that they have to bring those out. Whenever they're angry at someone, they have to visualize somebody. Right, they have to visualize somebody real, somebody that they're really angry at. It's not going to work. So in that way, their real experiences are brought forth, but not into the written material.
The film has many silent scenes where there are no dialogues. You tell a lot without words.
Well, I mean, that's part of the beauty of cinema, right? We don't have to be dialogue-driven, right? There's a dialogue going on without words all the time, and it's exciting to work that way, because with cinema you can get so close and so far in in the same scene, and you can explore the inner world and the outer world, right? And the tension, especially in this film, the tension between what's going on inside and the internal reality and the external reality, they're not in sync. Right? And so that creates much more of a tension that you can then explore that way. Yeah. But you know, I come from a theater background again, as I said, and so I love working with actors. I love the actor's face. It is about casting the right youths. The youths that give you something from inside, right? Or any actor. These were non-actors. They'd never acted before. Alex hadn't even done a drama class before, and we found him 10 days before the shoot. So we just improvised a lot. I can tell you why I cast them, and that kind of gives a key into how they worked, right? Yanu, I mean, I always thought Yanu was going to be physically quite small and looking quite weak. So when you see him visually, he couldn't survive on this farm and do this. Instead, I found Brent, who's a pro, you know, he's like a high school wrestler and a high school rugby player, but he's quite quiet on the outside, but inside you can feel it really comes through. You can feel a hysteria, right? It's a really interesting, it's my job, right, to feel, to talk to all of you, and I can feel something very specific from each one of you. That's what I do. And he has this hysteria. Not only does he have this hysteria, but he had no problem, he wasn't scared to use it and to work with it. It wasn't something he was embarrassed by or anything. And so it was really exciting. Right off the bat, I knew that was going to be Yanu, and I found him first. And then with Peter, Alex, it was different. Where everything's on the outside, right? He's just kinetic. Everything is incredibly physicalized, right? And on outside. And so in that way, I figured they would have a great chemistry together, you know? And so once you find your right cast, which is it's an honor and a privilege to find the right cast, because that does not always happen, right? I was very nervous. It wasn't going to happen. Once you do that, I think a lot of the silences get filled, you know, by just having the people with the right emotional life going on. On top of that, we did a lot of improvisations in that final week. And the improvisations, I had amazing experienced actors. Juliana Fenter plays the mother, and Morn Ephes is the father, Erica Vessels, the mother's sister. And and everyone was together on set, creating like a safe environment for the youths to really do improvisations that were quite scary. And really, like, they were, I remember Alex in his first few improvs, he was shaking, you know, his whole body was shaking, he was so nervous, you know. And like slowly after that, the shaking never quite went away. I didn't want it to, right? Because it's part of his kinetic physical being. But at the same time, he became more confident, right? And he started having more fun, and ultimately they also had a lot of fun, and it was great.
Did you allow them to improvise on the sets? I mean, and the others and the youngsters?
Well,
stick to the script, you know?
No, in terms of language, very little. There is a little bit. Certainly, the girls improvise. They were ages 2 and 4, the youngest. And my Greek niece was the third girl, the eldest. Really? She doesn't even speak Afrikaans. Yeah. She's Greek, Roxana. But the two younger girls actually grew up in that farmhouse that we shot in. So they are actually the farmer's daughters. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they improvised, 2 and 4, and they were improvising. Oh, hello, Papa. I didn't tell them to say that. They thought, okay, we're acting, we understand the story, this is what we're going to do. And they were always acting. It was great. Huh? It was amazing. So the younger actors like that, yes. But the older actors, we didn't improvise too much. In terms of changing the language. But what I did do, I tend to micromanage. As you can see, I talk a lot, and I'm like I get in your face. But then I always made sure that I would give at least one take purely to the actor. So I'd work with them a lot, and then at some point I give them one take, they can do whatever they want, and often that's the take I use. So you need to give them that freedom at some point, you know. And even with the young kids, the teenage boys, I'm talking to them while we're shooting. I'm talking to them. They learn not to break character after a while, right? And they learn to just carry on acting while I'm talking to them. And then at some point I just let it go, and I sit back and I do one or two takes and just see what they do on their own. So I use that a lot. It's fun. I mean, working with actors is so fun.
And do you think that they're going to continue their acting career?
Brent is definitely going to continue his acting career, I would say. He's already been auditioning for a lot of great directors in South Africa. And he just turned 17. He just turned 16 when the shoot happened, mm-hmm. when we were shooting, and now he just turned 17. Alex is younger. He just turned 14 when the shoot happened, and now he's just turned 15. So I'm not sure. He's younger and he's really enjoying it, so he's done one or two other small things right now, but I think he's not quite so decided. So we'll see. It's also harder, you know. It's great to be you can be a theater actor in South Africa. It's a little harder to be a film actor in South Africa. You know, there's a great big film service industry, a lot of international productions coming down, and you pretend to be somebody else from another culture. But to be like an actor playing somebody in your country and exploring things in that way, there are some films like that, but it's not a huge amount.
Thank you to Etienne Callas, director of The Harvester. I'm Angelo Cerbi from the Cannes Film Festival. For Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio.
24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.